today, New Music Tuesday is full of growly gals and growly guys, like that track from Philadelphia's Man Man. Okay, so you might not hear the prettiest sounding musical offerings, but instead some interestingly dark lyrics and some really cool instrumentation. Here to tell us all about it. I still can't get over this song.
It's got a beat I can really dance to. Here to tell us about the latest from Hayes Carle, Ike Riley, Man Man, as you're hearing now, Nick Cave, and The Breeders, is our friend and music critic for Esquire magazine, Andy Langer. Hi, Andy.
That's a lot of business we have today, and most of it's ugly.
I want to start with The Breeders. The Twin Sisters Deal are back. Kim and Kelly Deal have returned with a new release called Mountain Battles. Can you describe it for us, Andy, on its own and then in relationship to their more well-known past work?
Well, I mean, on its own, it's this sort of quirky, scrappy, experimental deal where there's a lo-fi country tune, there's a song sung in German, there's a Spanish bolero, and there's nothing at all like Cannonball. So if that's the relation to the previous work, don't go looking here for a big radio single.
Well, let's listen to the track called Night of Joy. So they're ladies who are known for doing things on their own terms. It sounds like the tradition continues.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Kim Deal wrote this record while on the last Pixies tour, and of course people always wish they could hear more Kim Deal while she's with the Pixies. And in this case, there's plenty of Kim Deal. There aren't a lot of pretty obvious-sounding, you know, real instantly likable tunes, and yet that's kind of what you expect from the Breeders. I mean, they've never really had a form, so whether this is a return to form depends on how much you really like the Breeders. You know, the one thing that's interesting is Steve Albini, you know, who is the producer behind a couple Nirvana records and PJ Harvey, and definitely is an outspoken critic of the music industry and of the way records sound today. He produced this from half-inch tape to acetate vinyl, which essentially means it's a horrible-sounding record.
Well, this is funny, though. I have to just play this little piece of an interview from last month from Kim and Kelly Deal, just giving it to a British interviewer. Let's play this tape, just so people know what they're like.
Why does it take you guys so long to record an album? It's like, so, there are gaps of years in between albums. Now, why is this?
When people ask me that, they're basically saying, unacceptable.
Well, I mean, it's wild.
We work on it constantly, honestly. I think I'm just really picky. I don't know. I feel a little silly doing the verse-chorus, you know, and I'm not saying, I enjoy it when people do that, but I have a hard time being that guy.
Is that the only reason it took so long? I mean, they've had their share of drug and drink problems.
Yeah, I mean, this is a band that, you know, has a rap sheet.
That's right. It's true. One of them ended up in prison.
Yeah.
Jail.
I mean, that said, you know, this is, you know, for people that have been waiting around for a Breeders record, they're going to love this. The Breeders aren't probably in the business of making a whole lot of new fans, and this isn't going to make it for them. And, you know, I don't think that's their goal, and this is a solid Breeders record for Breeders fans. It's pretty much that simple.
Okay, let's move now. Andy, come with me along here on this musical journey to Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. His new album, it's called Dig Lazarus Dig, and let's talk about where he's at in his career. He just turned 50. He took a break for a while and kind of laid low. This is his first new album with the Bad Seeds in a while. Let's listen to the results of that respite, and then we'll get your take on it. This song we're about to hear is called Lie Down Here and Be My Girl.
It's a matter of some emergency. Darling, can't you see I can't hold it back for the side?
Lie down here and be my girl.
And stop your frantic little fingers trying to collect.
So what do you think? Did the time off help rejuvenate him or his sound?
Well, that's a nice piece where he's actually singing, but he doesn't do a lot of singing on this record. It's mostly ranting and raving and preaching, which is cool. And
if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's at his most entertaining when he's you know, in the middle of a rant. He's sort of the Dennis Miller of rock and roll. And he's, you know, this is a record built or based loosely on the biblical story of Lazarus, who he just simply called Larry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it lends itself to that. The concept itself does. It's not the most accessible Nick Cave record. You know, it's more accessible than the double album they put out, what, 6 years ago or 4 years ago by now. That said, you know, for a Nick Cave record, there's a lot of stuff here that's as loud and as dark as you'd expect from Nick Cave, but somehow seems just a little bit fresher, a little bit more interesting, and maybe a little bit more listenable.
I gotta say, I'm not even a Nick Cave fan, and I listened to that title track, and it's eerie and dark, and there was something about it. First, it was really off-putting, and then I kind of got into it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the king of the murder ballad, of the dark humor, the dark setups for dark punchlines. I mean, you know, he's in a lot of ways the original goth, and he's still that guy, even though he's 50 years old and, you know, singing about the same stuff.
Okay, let's move on. Staying in the same kind of angst-ridden genre, let's talk about the new Man Man record. It's called Rabbit Habits. Let's listen to a track. Then I've started thinking Tom Waits.
Yeah, it's very, very Tom Waits. I mean, it's sort of like if the Arcade Fire were into Tom Waits and not as much Bowie. But this is the record that if you were thinking about the Nick Cave or the Breeders record, this is the one to buy instead.
Ah.
Yeah, they're from Philadelphia. They've got fake names like Chang Wang and Pow Wow and Honus Honus, which is Hokey Hokey. and they wear war paint on stage. All of
awesome.
That said, you know, they've got this whole kitchen sink thing going with tubas, accordions, and bicycle horns and spoons. And yet, while it's got that Tom Waits darkness to it, there's something kind of gleeful about it. Like, you know, just listening to the sample you played into this segment and then that, you do want to sort of tap your feet. And
it's carnival-esque. It's like wacky kind of funhouse, a little bit dark but fun at the same time.
Yeah, and they've got a good shtick, and the shtick works. And, you know, I think at this point, this record is the one that's going to get people excited about seeing them all summer on all the summer festivals. And they're going to be great live. They are great live. And this is the record that'll sell you on that.
We're talking to Andy Langer, music critic from Esquire magazine, about all the new music that this Tuesday, or at least five different tracks.
Yeah.
Chicago's Ike Riley. Now, Ike Riley in The Assassination, this new record, Poison the Hit Parade. Now, this is made up of demos from a previous record, Andy?
Yeah, he's had three records, and he's sort of this, you know, singer-songwriter, accessible, easygoing, yet intense singer-songwriter, and he's had these three records, and these are the demos and outtakes. Why, I don't know, but he's released a bunch of demos and outtakes and put them under the name Poison the Hit Parade.
Let's listen to a track from Poison the Hit Parade. This is Ike Riley.
Hip-hop has blown my mind. John Cash has done his time. When you and I were in the weeds drinking wine, miss those hip-hop thighs, cold cock by Patsy Cline, had an all-night police bar one time, from guns on the roof to the acid jazz, to the reels and rhymes of that Gaelic trash, dancing with the next...
Fun to listen to his lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and hip-hop thighs all in the same 20-second
winning verse. Combo.
Yeah, he's you know, he's sort of like a less hip version of the Hold Steady, and he's not, you know, he hasn't brought the Springsteen revisionism to the point where the Hold Steady have. That said, he's a really smart, witty songwriter. I just don't understand why a bunch of his demos are out there when people didn't buy the first three records
in the first place.
Yeah, and so a new record would have been, you know, a better idea, a better introduction for a guy that does deserve a much bigger audience. And, you know, go buy the last record. The last record, We Belong to the Staggering Evening, is a terrific rock record, and it's only a year old. I'm not sure why they're not reworking that or putting another single out from that, because it didn't get the attention it deserved. And he's another guy that you're better off just seeing live.
He's going to tour this summer?
I believe so.
Okay.
Off of this record that I don't understand why it's there.
Andy, we're going to wrap it up with a Texas singer-songwriter by the name of Hayes Carl. This is his third record. It's called Trouble in Mind. His first two albums were indie or self-released. Now he's on a major label. Let's listen to a cut off that track, off that album.
We've been dating since high school. We never once left this town. We used to go out on the weekends, and we drank till we drown. But now she's acting funny, and I don't understand. I think that she's found some other man. She left me for Jesus, and that just ain't fair.
Somebody get me a Shiner Bock and I'll pull up to the bar.
Not such a, shall we say, typical lyrical narrative for a country song, Andy.
Well, and if we got any further, I mean, he says, you know, if I ever meet Jesus, I'm kicking his ass. And, you know, this is a song that country radio isn't going to touch with a 10-foot pole. And I'm happy to have just gotten him any kind of national radio attention, because Hayes Carl is... he's really a terrific singer-songwriter in sort of that Guy Clark, Towns Van Zandt, Lyle Lovett kind of way. And he's the Texas troubadour that people are going to be listening to for the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. And this is a really solid, yet irreverent, yet, you know, deeply self-deprecating record. And the She Left Me for Jesus is a great calling card. It's a novelty tune that does have some depth. And unfortunately, that tune ain't going to get heard on radio.
Yeah, well, you sold me. I'm going to download it. Andy Langer, music critic for Esquire magazine, friend of the BPP. Hey, thanks as always, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
So, is the show really over? Is that it? Simon Doonan, are you serious?
Oh, I'm serious, honey.
Oh, so are we. We're the Bryant Park Project, and we're directed by Jacob Gans.
Our staff also includes Dan Pashman, Ian Chillog, Wynn Rosenfeld, Angela Ellis, Caitlin Kenny, and Nathan Duell.
Elsa Butler, Laura Silver, and William Hoffman light up our lives as our interns.
Josh Rogerson is our technical director, as is Manoli Weatherall.
Trish McKinney is our editor. Laura Conaway edits our website and blog.
Our senior producer is Matt Martinez. Sharon Hoffman is our executive producer.
I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Come visit us at our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. We're there all the time.
And welcome to new producer Mark Garrison, as
welcome,
well as
Mark.
Zena Barakat, who is back.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.